we get it underway by welcoming back in studio with us, I think first time here at the Zone Radio Digs, our old friend Ryan Waning. Hello there, Mr. Waning.
Rich, my king. How are you?
Welcome.
Yeah, this is amazing. The spread that you guys have here, it's you're moving on up, as it were.
Well, you know, we loved our old location, hanging out with the guys at Seasons. That was fun, but I like being in a radio station.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
You know, you're a radio guy. You know what it's like being here.
It smells like intellect.
Yeah, Yep. Especially now that they've cleaned out some of the other people here from the building. And of course, people may not know that you worked here at Zone Radio many, many years ago.
I did. And rumor is, I never actually was let go in a traditional sense. I was never given the fired.
Oh, so you're still on the payroll, then.
I was put on the sub list. So before I leave, I'm going to see what's going on Saturday night, because I got a free opening after the show. I can do a game here or there. I could board up, I think.
I think they're looking for somebody to do the overnight on KIT, if you slide in there.
Yeah, that might be my bag. You never know. Yeah. I know my way around the building.
There's no question about it. You're a very busy guy these days. It's been just about a year now since you started up Pro Wrestling Takeover. We talked about it when you were working on the show, but yeah, this is something you've been passionate about for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I remember seeing wrestling, I was waiting for Saturday Night Live to come on, and I was watching with my uncle, and a WWF program came on in the time slot, and I was immediately not just hooked by the larger-than-life characters, but the stories and the characterizations. And I think that's one of the things that we like to hang our hat on with Pro Wrestling Takeover is the work rate is good, the athleticism is off the charts, but we're telling stories. We're making episodic television show to show to show. It's not a standalone thing. There's context to everything. And for me, that's the fun of it.
Well, and this time around, it's even more fun and I have to think more meaningful as well, because as the title of the show indicates, you're coming home, almost home, this Saturday in Carmel, right there in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to not only do something locally in my own community that we've been so lucky, blessed, in fact, to be part of, whether it's through the school departments that both of my kids have been able to be part of, or whether it's through the local recreation department that has helped my kids both thrive in the athletic field. Having the show there means a lot. But more than that, the name is loaded in that it's not just me. I mean, literally, it's like 5 miles from my house, so I'm almost home. But some of the guys and girls on our roster right now are literally on the cusp. They will be on your TV in 6 months or a year, so they're almost home. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different tie-ins to it. And for us as a company, going against some of the other local established companies and having the opportunity to finally start to make our name and build our fan base, we feel like we're almost home, too, in that bigger sense.
What makes Pro Wrestling Takeover different?
Well, like I said, the idea that it's a story and that it's an episodic event, and that there's more to it than just the in-ring action. The show, I like to think of it a lot as like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Our shows don't necessarily start when the bell rings and people get into the ring. It's happening in the parking lot, it's happening on your way in, and it's happening after the show. It's an all-encompassing theatrical event. And that's, I know it's a bad way to talk about it in the realm of wrestling because people are so hung up on the old ways, but it is athletic theater. And when it's right. done, when it's done well, it is a masterful show. You can go to a movie, and no matter how hard you cheer, Wolverine is not going to reach out and high-five you. You know what I mean?
Right. And designed to appeal to people and fans of all ages.
Of all ages, in fact, yeah. And that's something that we struggled with out of the early going because we didn't exactly know how to police that type of thing. But now it is definitely aimed at that PG realm where it's good for, you know, kids can love it and find the accessible parts of it. And then there's that next level where the storytelling kind of builds it in and folds it in. So it's not just cartoons. It's three-dimensional characters.
Now, how much are you involved in the storytelling aspect of it?
I'm everything. I am the bear with the honeypot. I write all the shows in script form. We do everything leading up to the show, maybe a week out. I disperse the script to the guys that are on the show. They know what they're going to be doing. We talk about their matches, the context of them. And then I talk about spots that I want in the matches, and then they put them together. It really is amazing. Have you ever listened to two guys that know an awful lot about computers talk about computers next to you?
Yeah.
Eventually it leaves you, right?
Right.
Listening to these guys talk in shorthand, putting it together, is the closest that I've ever heard to two comedians working out a joke. It's absolutely amazing. They'll be like, remember that thing we did in Worcester? Well, let's do that, but I'll do this, and then you do that. And then you do that spot you do with your hair, and then we'll gaga on the floor, and I'm lost, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing. I've been wanting this since I was 10.
I know you're very high on the guy who's your current champion. Talk a little bit about Mike Orlando.
Mike Orlando is the crown jewel of Pro Wrestling Takeover, and it's not without any good reason. Not only is he a former NCAA football standout at Keene, where he was an offensive lineman, but he had a cup of coffee with the Raiders. I'm hoping to get an interview with him on tape that I can send to you, but I'll save a Carson Palmer story for you. That's just phenomenal.
Nice.
But he is also an interesting guy in that after his NFL career was up, instead of going the way that a lot of those guys go and becoming trainers and things like that, he decided to use that, and he completely transformed his body to become a pro wrestler. He went from, he's a 6'4", and when he played, his playing weight was at like 303, playing tackle for Keene. Now he works at about 265,
wow,
but ripped to the bone, crazy athletic, and on the radar right now of all of the big companies, not just WWE, but Ring of Honor, New Japan. He just got a passover from Booker T in Texas at Booker, wow, T's promotion, which is one of the places that if you go there and you get the thumbs up, you're going to the show on Monday nights. He's just a fascinating guy, and he doesn't fit the... You remember meeting the Koreas?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you remember being like, I don't know if these guys should be athletes.
Right.
He's like that.
Wow.
He's just a very interesting type of guy that you can talk to, and he gets the business a lot more than just what color should my singlet be.
How do you find your wrestlers?
I did it from, well, as you know, being on the other side of the guardrail for 30-odd years gives you a good chance to do some scouting.
Oh, yeah. Right?
But watching a lot of video at the outset and reaching out to people all over the East Coast. And then once your name gets out there, people start wanting to work for you. So I get 35 emails a day from, wow, people that are just looking for a spot. And some of these guys don't even want to get paid. They just want to drive up from Jersey Shore and come up and work a show and have us look at them. And at this point, I mean, we're overrun with guys that are top level indie wrestlers. So, you know, the roster's full. But when these guys start graduating, when Mike goes to the show and when his girlfriend Allie goes to the show, who's one of our other superstars, you know, we'll have a spot and we'll start bringing in those next guys. It's really a fascinating thing. It's like comics, Rich. There's just never an end to the line.
How do you decide what role people are going to play?
Whatever I want is crazy. Usually I try to figure out what their character is and go with that, which is one of the reasons why we hire them. You know, we wouldn't just pick some guy and be like, do you think you can do this? Usually it's they're like, well, I can kind of do this already. We have a guy, his name's the Metahuman Dick Lane, and he plays an evil villain. And on the indies, he plays an evil villain where he freezes time, he freezes the referee, he uses telekinesis to make people fall off of things, you know?
I love it.
And I'm transitioning him into being an evil wizard in my king's court, so to speak. I have a bad king, and he has a squire, and now their third is going to be this wizard. So we took what he did, and we sort of spun it just a little bit and gave him another way to make money.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of athleticism here, even though it's maybe even more so because it's choreographed, mm-hmm, but they're entertainers as well. And so you can't have somebody who's just a wrestler. They've got to understand that a huge part of this is relating to the crowd.
Absolutely. And that's one of the big three is not just can you work, can you talk? And do you have some sort of innate charisma? Because there's tons of guys out there and girls as well that have ridiculous work rate and can wrestle rings around everybody. But are you a star? You know, you, yeah, can see that. I mean, Joe Riccio.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I saw Joe the first time I met him, and I was like, the guy's a superstar, an absolute superstar. And I learned later that he really was, right? But I knew right out of the gate because of his charisma that that was the type of role that he could be a headliner in any club, right? And you see these wrestlers, and you're like, mid-level, mid-guy, bottom guy, can really wrestle, but can't talk. Guy like Mike, total package, 5 stars, can do everything.
How does your background, your years of doing stand-up, how did that prepare you for this role?
It's disgusting to think how similar the businesses are. Because I always thought it was, but the further into it I get, the more it's shady bookers. when they tell me shady booker stories, I can come back with shady booker stories. I'm like, a guy tried to pay me with a commuter monitor one time. You know, told me it was worth $400 on the street. I'm like, I could just get the $400 if you want. You know, things like that. They deal with shady bookers. They deal with long travel. They deal with long travel with maybe the opportunity to get paid. Or maybe if the house is light, you're not going to make what you thought you were going to make. You do it for the love, but you're in it. You're in it. You know, it becomes something that you decide to do regardless of what the money is. And I feel like they're just so similar. It's hard to discount how similar they are.
Ryan Wehning with us in studio from Pro Wrestling Takeover. Give us the time and where to get tickets for Almost Home on Saturday.
Saturday night, doors open at 6:30. The bell time is at 7 o'clock for Almost Home at Carmel Elementary School. We have 8 matches, including a main event of Ali Rex taking on King Leon the Sixth in a grudge match that's taken a year in the making. King Leon the Sixth leaving Ali Rex in the ring by herself with Brutal Bob Evans and Tim Hughes to fend for herself. She ends up coming out undefeated with the win by herself. They're finally going to collide on Saturday. You can still get tickets right now, although they're becoming very hard to come by. ProWrestlingTakeover.com/shop. We only have general admissions available. Front row are sold out, and we're probably down to about 30 GAs. So if you want to get them on the website, we'll hold them at the will call or at the box office. But getting close.
I always say, and not with pride, with a little bit of shame, but I know myself, that my skill set, if I really thought about it, game show host. But when I hear you talk, as you just did, I think, this is what Ryan Wainey was born for.
Game show host or wrestling promoter?
Wrestling promoter. Wrestling promoter. My word.
I just did a podcast, and the guy was like, "You just spoke wrestling promoter to me when I did that little blah 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 blah."
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a fun gig, Rich. It's a fun hat to wear.
That's awesome. Right. Playing any electric football? Do you have time for that?
I have been actually, Rich. I haven't been playing much electric football, but I have been playing. I bought the USFL Stratomatic set,
There's a USFL Stratomatic set?
84. They only carded six teams, but if you buy the video, the computer game, all of the card images are in there. So I've been systematically printing them out to reform the USFL and run it under my own wicked Stratomatic eyes.
Oh, that is fantastic.
It's so good. It's so good. When the NFL was the no fun league, man, the USFL was the fun league.
Yeah, we had Jeff Perlman on a couple of weeks ago to talk about his book on the USFL, Football for a Buck, and how Trump screwed the whole thing up.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see the ESPN doc about that?
Yes, yeah.
Bad man, Jerry. He's a bad man.
Exactly. Hey, it's so great to see you, my friend.
I feel like I'm at home again.
Well, you are. You're always welcome in here. Next time, we got to time it up, maybe on a Friday when I'm actually home, and bring some of the crew in, bring some wrestlers in, and
absolutely,
they can stomp on my head or something.
Absolutely. We'll teach you how to take chop.
All right. That sounds fantastic. It's Pro Wrestling Takeover. And by the way, like them on Facebook and be one of the millions that have done that. And get yourself to Carmel Elementary School Saturday night for Almost Home.
Thank you so much, Rich.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.